Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and we are the Fat Guys at the Movies, and that's, you're listening to our show.
Yes, you are. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on the web at www.fatguysatthemovies.com. Listen to us on iTunes, on Dig, Podcast Alley. Search Fat Guys. We'll come up in all our
chubby glory. If you go to the iTunes music store and just search Fat Guys at the Movies, we are the first one. Because we're the only Fat Guys at the Movies on iTunes.
True. No, trust me. There are fat guys who deal with iTunes, but we're the only fat guys.
Right. We're the only ones who actually have a show. Okay.
Yes. You can also email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or you can call us at 614-388-8735.
Woo.
There we go.
All right. And on this week's show, we are going to build an arc of fat guy greatness in honor of Evan Almighty. Yeah. We are also going to stay a night in room 1408 with Sam Jackson. And we're going to determine, what about Angelina Jolie is so hot? Is it her mighty heart, or is it something else?
The two things that are sitting right in front of it.
Potentially.
That's my vote.
Yes. But before we get into all that, Kevin, I would like to start, in honor of Evan Almighty, with a prayer.
Okay.
This is Neil's Fat Guys at the
Movies
prayer.
This is the
prayer.
Christians everywhere, be prepared.
Yes.
You were going to
so
offend everybody.
Everyone, just do your thing. Dear Lord, please give Kevin better taste in movies. We all know that he has the cinematic taste of a 13-year-old in the throes of puberty. Please also give me the strength to continue to work with Kevin and to fight off his incessant rants about how movies like Spider-Man 3 and Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer are so good. Also, please give us, I don't know. Please give the studios guidance to know that no one reads newspapers anymore. And I'd like some cheese fries. And maybe some sex. All right. I'm signing off now.
Is there an amen in there at some point? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay. I grew up in a church, so I'm always nervous to interrupt a prayer. There was so much I wanted to say during that prayer, like the fact that I hope that sex doesn't involve me. And
it's definitely
like
not going to involve
the cheese fries. I'd be totally happy with them involving me. But yeah, you had a lot on your chest there.
That's my prayer. There was a lot more to it, but I forgot half of it.
You sort of stumbled in the middle, but
it's okay.
I couldn't help you because
I was so overwhelmed
by the
power.
We weren't even holding hands.
Oh, geez.
Anyways, well, after that riotous opening,
we will never do that again.
Never again. That didn't go the way you planned, did it?
Not exactly.
Yeah, that's sort of like the sex you were talking about. Just doesn't go the way you planned.
It never happens.
Okay. We'll move on. Since that was such an appropriate opening, we'll, of course, want to talk about Evan Almighty, which is this week's probably the big film for the weekend. Family film version of Bruce Almighty involving an arc and a lot of body hair on Steve Carell. Let's listen to a clip.
Who are you?
I'm God. Flood's coming, and I want you, Evan Baxter, to build an ark.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, look, two doves.
Well, today must be my lucky day. Those animals are following me.
See, if you had an ark, you'd have a place to put them all. Oh!
Cheap.
And Kevin, and to all of our listeners out there, the flood is coming. The flood of venom from Kevin Carr's belly is coming on this movie. I can tell. I can feel it from
what
over here on my side.
Because when I walked out, I said to you that was the worst
because
movie of the
because we pretty
summer.
Much almost had a fight in the middle of a big mall.
Yeah. Which would have been disgusting. This. Nobody wanted to see that.
Yeah. So we're standing in front of the smoothie shack arguing about Evan Almighty. Everybody else is looking at us like, what the hell's wrong with these guys?
Two fat guys slapping each other with their body folds.
Right. But I want to start by defending the movie.
You're just preempting everything. I haven't even really talked about
it. I know.
Okay, go on.
My goal is to not let you talk about this movie because I think it's unfair that you don't like it. Because this movie has some problems. That's true. It's watered down. It's not very heavy on
plot. Okay,
plots.
I have to step in. Problems. It is 300 cubits by 50 cubits of absolute suck. That is the problem that this movie has. Go on.
But it has It has those little bits of humor, like the Steve Carell and the Ed Helms moments and Wanda Sykes. Those moments that are just funny.
Don't even get me. Wanda
Sykes was awesome in this movie. I love Wanda Sykes.
Wanda Sykes needs to
be
shot.
I thought this movie was...
I'll feel bad if she gets shot now. That's the problem. Jeez.
It was ultimately entertaining. Like, I don't feel like I wasted my time going to see it.
I wasted my money, and it was a free screening.
Oh, jeez. I'll give you,
there were funny things in the movie. There was stuff that was funny. I will give you that. I mean, there's like a one line right at the beginning that Steve Carell gives that I found myself laughing. And periodically, I thought there were some funny lines. Even Wanda Sykes, who's incessantly annoying in this movie and outside of this movie, did have a couple good lines. But
yeah, I don't think that you're right. I think that.
What do you mean? I haven't even been able to give a real case.
Exactly. You're still not right. But I felt like it was funny enough. It was simple enough. It wasn't like Bruce Almighty. I mean, obviously it's not going to live up to that because, as we found this summer, no sequel is living up to anything except for, well, nothing. So,
close.
Yeah, some of them
are actually
close.
Doing relatively well this summer, I mean, except for stuff like Hostel.
Well, money-wise, yeah, but are they better movies? I don't think so. So, it's okay. Steve Carell's very funny. I thought I was entertained. I think this will be a good movie. Kind of that family movie.
Well, you're right.
It will take that, especially since all these other, like Shrek and all them, are kind of gone away. It's a good family movie. Kids are going to laugh.
A better family movie that's out right now is Surf's Up, and that thing's not doing well.
Well, there you go. See, Evan Almighty needs to come in and...
Evan Almighty might. It's clean that demographic. I'll give you that it's something if you're going to... For something to take the kids to... Little
you're certainly not going to take them to see 1408.
Yeah, I hope not. Yeah. But like if you got like 8-year-old, 10-year-old kind of family, it is a family movie, much more than Bruce Almighty. You don't have breasts growing magically or anything like that. My biggest problem with the movie is it was just so poorly constructed and so forced, and they're trying to make this sort of this way out there, sort of like, here's this guy building an ark, but then they try and make it down to earth where he's dealing with a real relationship with his wife, but things just don't make any sense. And it was trying to do both things, and you got to go one way or the other, and it didn't. And like Blades of Glory just said, we're just going to be silly and stupid and go.
Right.
And they didn't try and be realistic and do a serious plot, but I think they did in this movie, and that's what really caused the problem. So... And it just got cheesy. It had this overbearing environmental message. It made no... The only connection to Bruce Almighty was that it was this character, but the character was totally different. And it's a $200 million comedy that just... I didn't see that on the screen.
I'll give you this. It did feel forced. It kind of felt like Shrek 3 where it was like, all right, they're running out of things to say. But I tell you what, it was enjoyable. It's worth going to see. It was way better than Fantastic Four.
I wouldn't say that.
So there you go. That's all I'm going to say about it. Okay. I liked it.
We'll go on to the next movies. When we got to come back from a break, we'll talk about the other movies for this weekend and hear some interesting sound bites from our buddy Sam L. Jackson. Can I ask you a real quick question about Transformers?
You can ask me anything.
Oh, okay.
I am yours.
That was a little clip from our interview with John Voight, which we'll hear later this summer when we do Transformers.
Or September Dawn,
but a Transformers comes out first. But that is just to show how cool John Voight was. We mentioned this before. He's like, you can ask me anything. His daughter, on the other hand, makes you sign a contract to not ask her anything but about the movie.
Right.
Crushing freedom.
John Voight's like, psh, I don't care.
He's like, well, we could have asked. We could have said, what the heck's wrong with your daughter?
What the heck's wrong with your daughter and those African babies?
Yeah. And he'd be like, I have no idea. They annoy me at Thanksgiving dinner.
Exactly.
So, but we're going to now talk about A Mighty Heart, moving into the more serious tone, about A Mighty Heart, which is the story of... Daniel Pearl, but Marianne Pearl and how she dealt with
this him is the guy that got his head chopped off, right?
Yeah, this is the guy who got decapitated by the freedom fighters, as some people like to say.
Some crazy.
Yeah, but people. These whack jobs in the war. So let's just listen to a clip.
We're coming to you from the home of Daniel Pearl, the journalist who's been kidnapped in Pakistan.
The most important thing for us is to find your husband.
There are so many people in this city. How would you find one man?
We'll fight kidnappers with kidnappings.
This film is for our son. so he knows that his father was an ordinary man, an ordinary hero.
There you have it. That's the, I mean, this is a really actually very serious movie, and it deals with some heavy-duty subject matter, although I'll tell you, it's not as heavy of a movie as you would expect. It's not like last year's United 93 where you're going, yeah, you didn't see it.
It sounded heavy.
Man, you're just trampling over. Do you want to pray about this too and offend more people?
Please, Angelina Jolie, do Playboy.
Playboy. Why bother with Playboy? Go for the good stuff.
Do porn.
Anyways, what did you think of this movie, Neil?
I absolutely did not see it. That's what I thought about it. I missed it because I had to do other stuff.
You had to do other
that
stuff.
That didn't include any of the fun stuff that I prayed for earlier.
Didn't include sex or cheese fries.
No, definitely did not include cheese fries. That was the most disappointing part.
I'm having a craving for cheese fries.
So, anyways.
Is there anything you want to know?
It looks
about
interesting. Like, I'm interested in the story of Daniel Pearl. He was just, I don't, this is going to sound really wrong, but he was one of those guys who, like, kind of dug himself into a hole.
They did,
and then
know what?
Got himself, like, beheaded, and it's like, dude.
Well, I don't think he got himself beheaded. I think he put himself, and it shows.
He put himself in a position.
He's in a position that he could get kidnapped, and pretty much from the point he gets kidnapped, it's out of his hands.
Right.
You know.
So Angelina Jolie's okay as an actress. I mean, she's had some great roles. So I would preemptively say, without seeing it, that this movie was probably pretty good, pretty compelling.
It's compelling, and I was terrified going into this that it was going to be a Lifetime Movie of the Week type thing, okay, of just her sitting around whining and crying and having all the, but it wasn't, and it showed the depth, and it had her and her emotions, but it was also, it wasn't just about her, which I thought was kind of big of her to not completely steal the spotlight, because she could have.
Yeah.
Just mandated that this movie was all going to be about her. Actually, most of the movie was kind of like this Pakistani police procedural movie.
Right.
And showed how the Pakistani government was trying to find him and track him down and everything. But I don't think it try and gloss over the fact, that, like you said, that, you know, Pearl did kind of put himself out there. I mean, they have a line in there once where they asked, does anyone know that he's Jewish? And she's like, well, he's Jewish by birth. And they show a wedding scene where they're breaking the glass and all that stuff. And she said, he doesn't tell anybody that, but he wouldn't deny it. And I'll tell you, you know, if I were Jewish and I were, you know, facing Muslim extremists, I'd be like, the hell with the Jews, man.
Give me my Quran.
I'd be running around, you know, trying to blend in, but
right.
You know,
I'd be like, I'm an atheist.
I'm a total coward that way.
Yeah. Quick question. Are there any African babies in the movie?
There is an African baby. Well, I don't know if it's an African baby, but it's either a Middle Eastern baby or something like that. But I did see that in the movie, and I thought, I wonder if she got to take that kid home as a
She actually took a $2 million pay cut.
Pay cut, and then
so she
took
she
the
could
kid.
Keep the kid.
That would be possible. That Sweet. Was completely, you've offended everybody. Now.
Yes.
You've offended everybody. So yes. Now that we're like in bad territory, let's move on to a horror movie, 1408, based on a Stephen King story.
Yes.
Here we actually have an honest-to-God clip instead of just a trailer, thanks to the folks over at the Weinstein Company.
Just give me the key. Listen, I stayed at the Bixby house. I brushed my goddamn teeth right next to the tub where Sir David Smith drowned his whole family, and I stopped being afraid of vampires when I was 12.
Do you know why I can stay in your spooky room, Mr. Olin? Because I know that ghoulies and ghosties and long-legged beasties don't exist. Even if they did, there's no God to protect us from them, is there?
If I can't talk you out of this.
I think we've reached an understanding.
Very well. Come with me. It's an evil room.
If you haven't guessed yet, this is about an evil hotel room.
Yeah, I was just waiting for Sam Jackson to go, it's an evil mother in room.
He does say that. Well, he doesn't use the mother part, but he does say that word, and that's the only chance I get to say that.
Right, we're going to play clips on Sunday,
we'll
aren't
play
we?
Clips
where,
from,
where
yeah.
they start swearing.
On the Sunday awesome. Show, on the uncensored show,
we got
we'll
so many good clips from this movie.
Awesome clips from Samuel L. Jackson talking about the movie and some clips
yes.
from the movie.
Thank you to the Weinstein Group. You don't suck like Fox.
Okay. Oh, dig the hole deeper. There we go. Woo! Anyways, you didn't see this movie because you're a big pansy.
And I had to work.
And you had to work. But you didn't try. You were like, I'm not
even
going to try.
Yeah, it wasn't like Ocean's 13 where I'm like, I'm going to call off. But no, this one I was like, I'm good.
Now, I'm a pretty big Stephen King fan. And I actually read.
As am I, apparently.
Yeah, you don't know anything. I read the original short story of this after I saw the movie because I was too lazy to actually read it before the movie.
Right.
But it's not, it follows a story, it follows a setup really well. It's just everything that happens in the room is a little bit different, but it's generally the same story. It does kind of have a bit of a been there, done that with Stephen King stuff because he's done haunted hotels before. He's done the walking on the ledge before in movies. And so this is sort of old school Stephen King. But I mean, for just a run-of-the-mill thriller that you don't always guess everything that's going to happen, I thought it was pretty good. And the scares, I have to say, I jumped a couple times in this movie. I thought it was pretty good. And I was,
you know, I jumped a couple times. I wasn't even there.
You weren't even there and you were scared.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking with Kristen Dreyer Kramer after the show, our friend from nightandweekends.com.
Nights and weekends, excuse me.
And she she used the great line of saying, you will get your cardio workout just with your heart attacks during this movie.
Sweet.
It definitely has its moments. It's done with a lot of great ambiance. Not the greatest horror film to come down the pike. But I think it's definitely worthy of checking out if you like, especially if you like King, if you like John Cusack, if you like Samuel L. Jackson. It's definitely worth checking out for the horror fan.
And on top of that, Kristen's a lot thinner than we are, so if she says cardio workout, she obviously knows what she's talking about.
She knows what she's talking about.
If Kevin says, like, oh, it's a great cardio workout, you're
like
going to be
walking up the stairs to get a sandwich?
Whatever.
Wow. So we're going
to
go.
I guess we'll have to just take her word for that, but we need to do grades real quick.
We'll do grades when we come back. When we come back, and later on the show, we're going to play some clips from 1408 interviews. Here we go.
Flowers lonely, I burn out slowly like a cigarette, and you kiss me.
Well, you know what we didn't do earlier, because we were being so diligently.
And I tried to remind you, and then you're like, no.
Shut up. We'll just we didn't grade our movies. So let's look at it. First of all, Evan Almighty sucked, right? Everyone can agree on that, right?
No, it kind of rocks.
Oh yeah!
I'm giving it my stamp of sort of recommendation.
No, I won't say don't see it, but you know, there's better ways to spend your weekend.
Moving along,
you know, like a root canal. The next, Mighty Heart. You didn't see, but you said you're giving it a preemptive.
I'll say it's a preemptive. Like kind of rocks. It looks interesting.
It was a kind of rocks. It was definitely an interesting film.
I may go see it.
1408. You didn't see it.
I'm not
have
even
no desire
comment.
To. And you're not even going to...
But I will say this. I like John Cusack and Sam Jackson, so preemptive kind of rocks, I guess.
I am going to have to say kind of rocks. It's not a full rocks, but it is kind of rocks. Definitely worth checking out, at least on video when it comes out, but maybe in the theaters.
Right.
When we come back, in the second half, we're going to have clips from 1408 and some interviews with the people in 1408. We're going to do a Stephen King memorial on our top 10 list of the week.
Right.
And just to get you geared up for this, the junket questions we've got, here are, if you've never been on a junket, which most people haven't, these are the kind of brilliant questions and things that reporters will say to the talent right in front of everybody, but you never hear them because they always cut them out. But here's brilliance. I don't even know who this is, but he's an idiot.
John, I was going to say, you and Jeremy Piven, you know, have been childhood friends since you were kids.
The best part about that isn't the fact that he just redefined childhood friends in the explanation, but the fact that everybody, including Samuel L. Jackson and Jack Hughes,
like, what the
laughed
hell?
At him.
I love it. That's awesome.
So that's,
that happens all the time, by the way. Like, it's not even random. It's
terrifying, the dumb things that people
say. Why are you
say.
So sweet?
Yeah. We'll catch you in the second half hour.
And we're back in the hot seats here in the magical studio in the sky after a nice break. We
both went to the bathroom.
We both went to the bathroom. We didn't go together, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
I sat back here and ate cheese fries while Neil
went to the bathroom. And didn't take care of the other thing.
Yes.
Fancy. All right. Anyways, let's talk about some box office predictions. Because obviously that worked out so well for us last week.
Yes. Well, it worked out well for me. I was a genius. You were an
allegedly.
Idiot. You're like, Fantastic Four is going to make $17 million. It did in the first day and then some.
Yeah.
I sent you an email and I'm like, it made $22 million on Friday. You're like, just wait. It's going to drop to like only $6 million for the next 2 days.
All right. Anyway, so...
what say you?
Obviously, we have Evan Almighty, which is the biggest release at 3,500 theater, 3,500 plus.
And it does make news because it is the most expensive comedy ever made.
Yeah, but it's not going to make that back in the first
weekend.
No way.
No way. The first weekend, it's not going to make that. They could leave it in the theater for 2 years. It's not going to make that much money back. There's no way this is even going to see $200 million, let alone $400 million, which is what it means.
I don't know. I think... it might get close to 200. Like, it may do, like, 175.
Close to 200,000.
That's... no. We're not talking about that anymore.
What do you...
1408's got a good release, 2,600 theaters.
How many theaters in Evan Almighty again?
3,500 plus.
That's
good, a lot of theaters. A lot of people
are gonna get to see it. It's not the huge 4,600 theater opening that, like, the other big movies had.
Right,
Transformers
it's
is going to be like 5,000 theaters.
Transformers is going to be like, they're going to make theaters.
They're
going to
build theaters so they can show Transformers.
Like the Michael Bay Cineplex. 12 screens of Transformers.
So that, and then how many is the Mighty Hearts? Mighty Hearts,
Mighty Hearts at 1,350, which...
more than DOA was in.
Yeah. So it'll probably do better than Hostel did last week.
Yeah, well, Hostel's tanking fast.
Yeah, so...
it's going to make... but the thing is, Hostel only costs like $10 million to make. Hostel will make money. I don't know how much a Mighty Heart or 1408 cost, but like Evan Almighty is just never going to, it's not going to profit. It just can't. It's impossible to profit.
It's going to be very tough. Let's
just
say
really
that.
It's tough.
But I'm going to predict, I want to say Evan Almighty will do $40 million this first weekend.
That seems to be what, I think that's what the industry's saying. I'm going to, I don't know. I mean, I think... it, if it was just kind of like be an average run of the mills, probably you're talking 30 to 40, probably 35. Right around
I think it'll
13.
Top the box office because I think Fantastic Four is going to take a pretty good drop because I think all the fanboys and fangirls have gotten that out of their system.
Well, and it was much more family oriented than everything else, and so you know this is arguably
another
family
oriented
film.
Yeah,
but I think it could be $35 million maybe, but you know there is that little thing that all of a sudden the you know who knows the audience may sit there and respond and be like, wow, Steve Carell on an arc, we got to go see it in the top 50. But I
right
highly unlikely.
Yeah, I would say 50 is kind of stretching at this point, but I think over the course of the summer it'll do okay. Like I don't think so domestically it'll get over 150 million.
I think it's going to be stretching. I'm betting a total box office grab of, if it's lucky, jumping over 100 million, but that's it.
Okay.
That's on the outside.
Well, I'll give you
chance.
That.
That God helps.
My aggressive prediction of the week, though, is that 1408 debuts over 8 million and beats out Hostel last week. Because Hostel was, what, 8.1 million last week?
1408 is on track to at least do decently. And probably, like, you're talking $10, $15 million range.
Right.
But my big question is, and then what you're of course, going to say no. But I think...
well,
you
Hostel
think,
was 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry.
Do you think Silver Surfer is going to crack 100 million this weekend?
What is it got? It's got to do another 30.
From Tuesday's
million?
Numbers, but we don't have the rest of the week's numbers in.
Hold on.
It's cranking out about $5 million a day. So it means it's probably going to go into the weekend with at least close to $80 million. By the time it hits Friday, it's going to be close to $80
million. Right. Its current total gross is $69
million. Yeah. And I think it's very likely
that we see Evan Almighty do like 35 to 40 and then another 30 for Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Yeah, maybe not as much as 30.
I'm thinking, because, you know, it had a big weekend. I think by the middle of next week, it'll be into 100. Yeah. But I think it's really going to start to slow down, especially.
I think it'll crack 100 million.
We got
this
next week. 3 weeks, we've got what? Live Free and Die Hard. We've got Ratatouille. We've got Transformers is going to
wipe everything off
the board.
But I do think Silver Surfer will probably crack 100 million this weekend in the 20 million range.
It'll be all right.
Yeah.
It'll do okay.
And then you've got.
Jessica Alba's a good draw.
And then A Mighty Heart. I just, honestly, you know, when it comes to 9/11 type movies, this isn't 9/11. But it's definitely of that ilk. It's in the aftermath type thing.
Right.
United 93, arguably the best movie of the year last year, I thought.
It's up there.
It's such a harsh subject to talk about. I think a lot of people are going to be scared away, you know,
but
from
I think
A Mighty Heart.
It could be one of those movies that we're still talking about in December.
We might be.
Depending on what else comes out.
I don't know if there's enough strong enough acting performances. You're not going to probably see Angelina Jolie get an Oscar nom, but you might get like a directorial nod here and there, possibly.
Right. So we'll see. It very well could be.
Yeah. So that's our box office predictions. What are we? We're also going to talk. You want to quickly hit trailer of the week?
Yeah, let's hit trailer of the week. My trailer of the week pick. It's up on Film School Rejects right now. The movie it premiered at South by Southwest this year. It's called He Was a Quiet Man. It stars Christian Slater and Alicia Cuthbert and what's that other guy's name? William H. Macy. Yeah.
Yeah, that hack.
Seriously.
He's done nothing.
And it's kind of one of those creepy, weird kind of psychosis movies about like a guy who commits this murder and then imagines that he didn't commit this murder and kind of relives the whole thing.
Did you get all that from the trailer?
I got that, yeah.
I didn't get that from the trailer.
I totally just figured out the whole movie. That's not good.
But no, you can tell
like at the beginning, and then he starts up this relationship with the girl who got shot, who's now paralyzed, who's Alicia Cuthbert, who's still hot despite being an invalid.
And brunette.
But I liked her in The Quiet. She was brunette.
No, that was Camilla
Bell.
That was what's her name, the other girl.
Yeah, sorry.
She was hot in The Quiet.
Yeah, she was hot in The Quiet with the cheerleader thing. All right. Anyways, so this... It looks cool. I'm kind of anticipating it coming to you know, one of the art houses around town. Hopefully it'll get there. Right now it's just still working the film festival circuit. So, but I think Christian Slater is due. He's one of those actors that I really have enjoyed him for a long time.
Ever since,
I said in the post, and I was like, "Have you seen Broken Arrow?
Yes,
I loved Broken Arrow.
It was
that
awful.
Was a great movie.
It was a great movie. If you're stupid."
John Travolta is a bad guy.
John Travolta
was awesome.
Was awful.
He was so good.
Do you know, and I tell you, I had...
It was a great movie.
I was practicing for a hot dog contest. I was seeing how many hot dogs I could eat, and then, like, after we did our Sunday show, mm-hmm. and then I went home, and I, like, fell asleep afterwards.
Right.
Going to sleep with more than a dozen hot dogs in your belly is not a good idea. I started having bizarre dreams. And
about John Travolta?
Starred John Travolta from Hairspray. So it was like terrorizing me in my dreams. It was the most horrifying thing in the world.
Oh, dear. There's nothing more I can say.
Shall we move on? Real
yeah.
quick, we're
go
gonna
see
play...
the go see the trailer. Yeah. It was I liked it.
We're gonna play a couple 1408 clips. First of all, these are from the junket. Some fun things that they're all actually. We're just gonna do Sam Jackson stuff because he's witty and funny.
So here's Sam Jackson.
Yeah, here's him talking about the movie and going into the room.
I'm the guy that sits in the horror movie that says, "Don't go in the dark room," you know. You're safe in this particular place right here. Stay there till it gets light, you know, and call somebody or do something, but don't go in the dark room. Don't go down the stairs. Don't go see what the noise is. You know, even in my house, if I'm at home by myself in my house here in Beverly Hills, my house is big enough that if I hear something down the hall, I'll just stay in my room and go, wow. You know, I'll go turn the alarm on, and if, you know, something happens, then the alarm will go off, but I'm not going to go down the hall to see if something's in the house. I'm not that interested, you know.
You're not the heroic type, then.
Well, I got a gun, too, you know. I will, you know, take the gun out, and I'll put the gun on the bed, and I'll sit there, and if somebody comes in the room that's not supposed to be in the house, I'll just start shooting.
Sam Jackson, man, is hilarious in this junk, and he just completely goes absolutely crazy. But you know what? He's got some real interesting things of what it was like growing up in rural, segregated Tennessee and kind of dealing with superstitions down there. And he's got some – here's him again.
Well, I grew up in Tennessee around people who believe all kinds of things. And, you know, I was told ghost stories at night by my grandfather and his brothers. And there were people who died in our neighborhoods that we saw long after they were dead. You know, if you were out at night and looking around the wrong place and doing something wrong, and you'd look up and there would be that lady who used to call your house and tell your mother you were doing something wrong. You'd know, she's dead. She's not supposed to be here, but there she is. So, you know, and you weren't the only person that saw her. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, we had phenomenon like that went on. And throughout my life, we've you know, gone through interesting things. People would tell you stories about places you could go. There was a school bus that turned over in this particular place, and if you go there at a certain time of night, you can hear the kids crying and hear the screeches of the tires, and we'd go there, and sure enough, you'd hear it, you know. So yeah, there are lots of things that we can't explain that are just part of our, you know, culture.
There you go, another little story from Sam Jackson. Great stories. He's a great speaker. He was great in the movie 1408. Go check it out. And when we come back, our top 10 lists for Stephen King. In honor of Stephen King. writing of 1408 and the fact he really had nothing to do with the movie but write the original story. We're going to come up with our top 10 list, our Fat Guy's top 10 list. We've got two of them because if you do the top 10 best Stephen King movies, you got to do the top 10, the worst 10, I guess you could say.
Because there's at least 20 Stephen King movies.
There's like, I think 17 million, I think is how many they've made.
There's at least 8,700 made for TV Stephen King movies starring that guy from Wings.
Anyways, we'll start with the top 10 Stephen King movies. This is, of course, you'll see this online. We're going to post it on Film School Rejects, and it's just going to be nothing but people going, what are you, high? That movie was awful. Why is that on there? You're stupid.
In Kevin's idiot, what about this movie voice? Yeah, thanks.
Was it Josh who said that?
Either Josh or Tim from Josh, Strong Words.
Josh
Inc.
from Strong Words, who's like, what about Dr. Strangelove? Which yeah. I'm like, the Russians weren't trying to destroy the world.
By the way, before we get into this, congratulations to the guys over at Strong Words, Inc. for their new show.
Yes.
Formerly known as Veercast, now known as Strong Words, Inc. And apparently soon to be changing again to another name.
To another name, which we're not going to say on the radio.
We listened to like the first 4 minutes of the show tonight because we had the time. And it was very funny. Thanks. So
let's move on. Go. Top 10 Stephen King movies. The number 10 would be Carrie, which was the very first one. Brian De Palma did
Who
it.
Who played Carrie?
Sissy Spacek actually did.
And she's the one that like burned everything down.
Yeah,
right?
Well, she had telekinesis and she started a fire because
I want that power.
It would be cool.
Yeah.
Have to apparently have your period for that.
Yes.
Number nine, The Dead Zone, which was
not to be confused with Drop Zone with Dennis Rodman.
Not at all the Drop Zone with Dennis Rodman. Also not the TV show. I really haven't watched the TV show enough, but the movie was directed by David Cronenberg. Very well done and very faithful Stephen King adaptation at a time when it wasn't very common for those to happen.
Okay.
Number eight, Silver Bullet. This isn't one that I'm going to get yelled at for, but I loved it. It was a werewolf movie. Starred Corey Haim in his younger days. And
I'm down with that movie
Gary
already.
Busey.
Yeah. Gary Busey awesome. And Corey Haim?
Yes.
Wow.
Gary Busey and Corey Haim going up against Reverend Werewolf.
Do
one
it.
Of the, one really awesome movie.
Actually, I'm going to go rent that right now. I'll be back.
Okay. We'll see you later. Number seven, The Stand, the TV miniseries, The Stand, starring Gary Sinise and Rob Lowe. This was really well put together, and people have been waiting for The Stand for years, and it was nice to see that actually come to fruition about 15 years ago. Number six, another one I'm going to get yelled at for, Pet Sematary, which Neil couldn't even spell because he didn't know it was deliberately misspelled because the guy doesn't watch any... apparently doesn't watch or even look at the posters for scary movies. Pet Sematary, directed by Mary Lambert, one of very faithful adaptation, didn't do all that well, but I thought was one of my favorite of his books. I thought it was very well done.
Kevin, I'm back from the. They were out of it at Blockbuster.
Oh, sorry.
It's that good.
It's that good. You'll have to catch it on like TNT. Or
yes.
Something.
Move along. Where are you at?
Number
on your
five,
list?
The Shining.
I saw that one.
The Shining. Yes. Oh, you saw it. Woohoo! You like everyone saw The Shining. Yeah. Stanley Kubrick.
Who hasn't seen The Shining?
Stanley Kubrick's attempt to do Stephen King, which was not a good necessary adaptation, but a great movie. And Stephen King hated it and remade it and did a TV series that sort of was okay. Next, The Shawshank Redemption, which I'm actually in. If you watch me, I'm in the background in one of the scenes, but you wouldn't recognize me because I look totally different.
Yeah, he plays the son.
Yes. Whatever. I wasn't as fat, although I did. I will tell you this. The wardrobe person, she gave me the biggest pair of pants she had, and I'm like, do you have anything bigger? She's like, you ain't going to be in the movie if you need anything bigger.
Yeah.
So
look for the guy with the really tight pants.
Frank Darabont's adaptation of Rita Hayworth in The Shawshank Redemption. Great film, Oscar-worthy.
Why is this now number one? You were in it.
I got another one. Misery is number three, starring James Caan and Kathy Bates. Got her start in this movie. Great adaptation. Another in one room type movie. Number two, Creepshow. One of the first R-rated movies I ever saw as a kid, 1982. Honoring the EC horror comics.
Yeah, but you were like 20 back then.
Yeah, whatever, your mom. I was young enough to like be terrified of it, but there was no nudity in it. But still, it was a great movie. Five stories. Blood, guts, and everything. It was awesome, directed by George Romero. And number one, Stand By Me.
Which allegedly does not have Samuel L. Jackson in it.
It does not have Samuel L. Jackson.
I was totally confused.
But it does have, Will Wheaton and River Phoenix, Corey Feldman, another Corey, directed by Rob Reiner. He's on two of these. And again, another one that
I never really associated Rob Reiner with Stephen King movies.
Yeah, he has Stand By Me and Misery. And in fact, those movies are what Castle Rock got named after. So
okay.
That's the top 10 list. Let's move on to the 10 worst. You can do this list since you are so intimately familiar with it.
Yes, because looking down at this whole list, I've seen absolutely none of these movies.
Okay.
So we're starting number 10 with The Rage, Carrie 2.
Sequel to Carrie.
Is basically 28 Days Later.
Yeah. It was literally a why bother movie that just made no sense.
And I just left it my own.
The girl was better looking than Sissy Spacek was, but oh well.
Okay. Number 9, Salem's Lot, a TV miniseries from 1979. That's pre-Neil Miller era. So pre-Neil Merrill.
It was before Rob Lowe remade it, and this was such a great book, and it was just such a god-awfully boring miniseries. And if you can get the full series, which is like 4 hours as opposed to the two-hour movie made that they chopped together, supposedly better, but it just was dull and boring.
It's okay. Number 8, Graveyard Shift from 1990.
Yeah, rats, giant rats, and Brad Dourif as a exterminator. It just was so poorly done, and just the special effects are mind-numbingly bad. It's not even a good bad movie.
So it's like a bad Orkin Man commercial?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Yes. Number 7, Maximum Overdrive from 1986.
Yes. Now, Stephen King was so upset at the way people had adapted his movies for 10 years, he said, I'm going to make my own. I'm going to direct my version of Trucks. Put a Green Goblin in front of a truck, cast Emilio Estevez and Lisa Simpson in this movie, and I'm going to make an absolute pile giant turd. And that's what we got, is Maximum.
Excellent, so I made the worst list. Number 6, The Lawnmower Man from 1992.
Legally, you cannot advertise this movie with Stephen King's name on it because it has nothing to do with the original story. So much so that King sued to get his name off of it because they did it as Stephen King's Lawnmower Man. Not a bad movie about virtual reality with the kid from Last Action Hero and Pierce Brosnan, but has nothing to do with the original Lawnmower Man, which is about a giant goat man eating the grass in somebody's lawn.
Sounds fun. Anyways, number 5, The Mangler from 1995.
Based originally on The Mangler story, which The Mangler story was about... Stephen King used to work in a laundromat, and there was this folding machine that it would hurt people, and so he kind of made it like what if it was haunted, and it wasn't a great story, an even worse movie. Ted Levine plays a guy in it who, at the end, sort of like tries to have a relationship with like a 16-year-old girl. It's really creepy and weird and stupid.
Okay, that's weird. Number 4, Sleepwalkers, 1992.
Really, really bad original movie by Stephen King, original screenplay starring the guy from Charmed, the one with the witches. He played the angel in it. But this one was just like, I can't even begin to say how stupid it was. Let's move
on. Creepshow 2 from 1987 is number 3 on the list. Yeah.
Creepshow was so great. 5 stories. They got rid of George Romero, had some other hack do it, and they did 3 stories. The only redeeming value of this is one of the stories had boobs in it.
Okay. Number 2, Secret Window in 2004.
Yes, which starred Johnny Depp, who's a great actor, but give him a crappy script, he can't make,
Wasn't John Turturro in this movie?
Yes,
too?
John Turturro was.
I like that guy.
He is great, but it was a terrible movie. It was just, It was predictable, and I remember seeing it. They didn't advertise it as a Stephen King movie, and I remember looking at it and going, wow, this sounds familiar, and I'm like, wait a minute, I read this book, and it was awful.
All right, and number 1, I know I said I'd never saw these movies, but this shows how much I didn't read this list before I started reading it.
I don't care.
This is not only a movie I saw, but a movie I kind of liked.
It made no sense.
Dreamcatcher from 2003 with freaking Jason Lee's in this movie.
Yeah, he was killed by he was killed by a butt weasel in this movie.
God, this movie wasn't bad though.
It made no sense. Tom Sizemore, God was in this movie. Morgan Freeman was in this movie and couldn't pull it off.
I disagree.
I sent this list to you 2 days ago, and you're like,
I'm not even going to read it. And then I get to here, and I'm like, what the heck?
We need to move on.
Oh, jeez.
When we come back from the break, we're going to wrap up and get out of here.
And we're back, and we're wrapping up Fat Guys at the Movies, episode 16, I guess. I don't know. But... we'll wrap up our reviews here. The consensus on Evan Almighty is that Kevin's an idiot.
And it sucked.
Kind of rocks. An idiot. Consensus on 1408 was it? It's worth seeing.
Kind of rocked.
Yeah,
kinda
there
rocked.
You go. And A Mighty Heart.
Kind of rocked.
Kind of rocked. So those are the reviews. Go out and see
spend
good movies
your money
this
on
weekend.
The studios, yes.
Yeah, don't listen to Kevin.
Next week, we'll check out Ratatouille, Live Free and Die Hard, Death at a Funeral, maybe. Although
potentially Sicko
well,
as well.
Well, that's been pushed a little bit.
We
and
don't know.
Hopefully Sicko, who knows, it got jumped out. I didn't see it on YouTube.
Oy.
And we might have a special guest. We might have a special interview.
Yes, very special.
It has something to do with Michael Moore.
Yes.
That's it. We're done with the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
We went so fast. We were actually
We were like, time. Wait a second. What are we doing here? We'll also in the next week or so have the Transformer stuff.
Big Transformer stuff, some interviews, awesome stuff for Transformers. But we got to get out of here. Until next time, see you later.
Adios.